Hello, everyone. This is Bishop Casanova Green, lead pastor of True Vision Christian Community. Thank you so much for listening to our sermons and teachings and helping us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We want to be able to continue to share the word and show God's love all over the world. If you'd like to support us financially with a one-time donation or with a recurring gift, please go to www.truevisionlancaster.org/giving. We never want to put a price on the gospel, so please give as God directs and enables. We are a small church with a big impact and want to continue reaching our city, country, and the world in as many ways as we can. I pray you are blessed by the word of God today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to True Vision Christian Community. I'm Casanova Green, Bishop Casanova Green, And I am honored and privileged to serve as the lead pastor of TVCC alongside my lovely wife, the wonderful, the amazing Pastor Rachel Green. So it's summer. And summertime allows you the flexibility to do something a little bit different because we do a lot of we follow the same formats, same thing over and over and over and over again. But sometimes you got to kind of break the mold a little bit and try something out. So we're going to try something out this month every second Sunday called Ask Bishop Cass. We're going to try this out every second Sunday. Ask Bishop Cass. So today's special because this is live. I am actually live. This is not a pre-recording. I am talking to you in real time right now. And this is the opportunity for you to get, if you ever want to ask a pastor or something, this is the good time to do it. So if you want to send us an email at admin@truevisionlancaster.org and admin@truevisionlancaster.org for a future topic, or if you're in the comments right now, or if you're watching us right now from you on YouTube or Facebook, feel free to throw in a question. Feel free to throw in a question or something that you really want to know or advice about something. And you know, I will be more than happy to help you connect with you. And you know, ultimately give you an answer. I think one of the things that we have forgotten in Christianity is that we are called to give an account. We're called to give an answer. We're called to give a response. And but many times, part of the reason why we won't ask questions because half the time we don't know the answer. Can I get an amen in the back row? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's been about 7 or 8 months since I was ordained as a bishop. And for many people, they're like, Bishop? What's a bishop? And I'm going to take some time to kind of explain fivefold ministry, and then explain what a bishop, who a bishop is, and also a deacon, what that is, and then also what all these roles fulfill, and also just some other things, because you go to church, you hear a lot of these words, people be like who, what do you mean to be elder? What is an evangelist? So we're going to deep dive into that today. Also, if you have questions, if you want to, something else pops up, you want to, like, have been thinking about this, let's talk about this. Go ahead and drop it in the comments. I can see you in the comments right now. So go ahead, hop in the comments, and we'll see where this goes, all right? Experiments are fun. Okay, so when we talk about the concept of the fivefold ministry, the fivefold ministry is pretty much how I call it, like, the teaching staff of a building, like the teaching staff of the church. Like, who are the people? Who are those who are called to speak into the life of a ministry and make sure the ministry is healthy? So let's talk about this. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I'm reading from the Christian Standard as always, and it says this: And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning, with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way to him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. So let's talk about this. All right. So I know I've preached about this a couple times. I'm going to try to find a message, the initial message, or we might just have, or might just go back into that good cookbook. But let's talk about it. So we have the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. So let's break this down. So the job of the apostle is to establish and oversee. So for some people, many denominations believe that the apostles that have the name, have the title of apostle, be called an apostle, you pretty much have to be one of the people that, one of the 12 disciples, not count, we ain't gonna count Judas, but one of the 12 disciples plus Paul, to be able to be called apostles, called an apostle in the modern day. For some people, if you're called to establish and oversee, you're called to function in the office. These are offices. These are roles in the church, okay? The office of an apostle. You might have an apostolic gifting or anointing, but you're called to establish, but are you called to establish and oversee? That's crucial. Are you called to establish and oversee? So the job of the apostle is to establish a church, build it up, leave, establish other churches, but also come back and make sure the church is in order. You see this exemplified in the work of the apostle Paul. Paul literally bounced around, and all those letters were him staying in communication with the churches that he oversaw. And he was able to speak into the life of those ministries as the establishmentarian, or if the leaders said, okay, we want to be under you, we're going to under your covering, we're going to follow you. Okay, so in the modern context, apostles are identified as people who are able to speak into the lives of a church, into the life of a church. Not just, I'm just going to blow in and blow out, but really be those midnight calls, those advice, like decision-making functions of the church. The apostolic office is that person's role is to speak into the life of churches and also to establish or assist in the establishment of churches and then make sure they are ran properly. For some people, it might not be churches, but it might be other, it might be itinerant ministers, people who are traveling. It is their job to make sure everything is on the up and up. So we're going to dig into this a little bit more when we get to the role of the office of the bishopric. After we get through these, because there's a connection between the role of the apostle and the role of the bishop. All right, next we have so the apostles are the oversight, the prophets are the conscience. The job of the prophet is to make sure that the church is aligning, the church is functioning and aligning within what God calls for them to be. The office, not the gifting or the anointing of the prophetic, the office of the prophet is to be a watchman or a watchwoman. The prophet sees what God is showing them and then relays it to the rest and say, hey, this is what God's showing me. This is where God is calling us to go. Prophets also function. Prophets are mainly supposed to function in realms of authority and governance. And I think that's something that we have lost in the modern context of the church, particularly in Pentecostal apostolic realms or charismatic realms, that we see a prophet as a clairvoyant. You're like, dang, Cass, we are going 10 toes deep today. Yes, prophets are able to speak words of knowledge and words of wisdom, but it's not just for your bank account, how many houses you're going to have, or how many children you're going to have. Yes, those words come, but the prophetic also deals with governance. If you look at the Old Testament, the prophets were used to speak to kings and queens. They were the advisors to kings and queens. That's why if you saw the opposite of it, where the soothsayers and the witches and the magicians, you can see that in the Moses narrative, particularly with the snake. So Moses puts his staff down and it becomes a snake. And Pharaoh's like, oh, my gods can do it too. So they did it too, and they put their staffs down, and they became snakes. But what happened was Moses' snake ate the other snakes, showing the authority and the power of God. So we have to be very, very careful, especially in looking at the prophetic call, that we're not asking someone to give you parlor tricks and clairvoyance. There's the prophet, again, the office of the prophet, the office of the prophetic is to advise and it's the role of authority. It's the conscience of the church. It's what is God saying? It's the conscience of the people. But we also have to be careful because within the prophetic office, there we have to be very careful to make sure that we are in tune and hearing what God is saying for the good of the people, not just because you just heard this from somebody. Like, what is God speaking to you specifically? And what is God having you do to change systems, to change everything around you? That's crucial. All right, so the apostles are the foundation, the governance, the prophets are the conscience. Then we have evangelists. The job of the evangelist is to go out and preach and bring the good news and preach the good news. So it's not just going and bringing in souls, but the office of the evangelist is also able to go into the house of God, go into the church and energize and galvanize people to go out and do the work of the Lord. Here's the thing about evangelists, that evangelists come in the churches. We always say they blow in, they blow up, and blow out. But what that means is, and this is something I really noticed that I've really learned, is that evangelists, because that it's their job to get people moving, at times they're able to see where prophets came. They're able to address things in a way that prophets cannot. Because it's like it's an immediacy thing. Like it has to be dealt with now. It can't just be, oh, well, you know, like this is something like, hey, this is the thing that's hindering you from fulfilling the Great Commission. This is the thing that's blocking you. Like this is the thing in your life that's blocking you from doing what God's called you to do. So the office of the evangelist is to go out and spread the news. Go out and spread the news for those who don't haven't heard it, but also remind those who have heard it that they have a responsibility to do the same. Then you have your teachers and your pastors, and there is a difference. So teachers are designed to assist in the instruction of the people. Assist in the instruction of the people. The office of a teacher. So this person might not necessarily be the senior pastor, but there's somebody who's there that they are designed, that their office is to teach in a certain focus area or you know, just teach or be able to give the word in general in a way that people can understand it. You have to think of the church as like a school. Certain people teach certain subjects because that's their expertise, not because, oh, blah, 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 blah. Like, oh, the Lord. No, true people who truly walk in the office of teaching have a strong expertise in a couple areas, and they're able to teach that. They can teach the other things, but there are specific things that God has enabled them to teach too. While the role of the pastor is to shepherd the church, that means take care of the church. They're the moral support. They're the spiritual support. They're the one who's making sure that everyone is flowing in what they need to do and doing what they need to do, so that way the needs of the people are met. Now, can people have a combination of these? Yes. But for a church to be healthy, there needs to be multiple people who are functioning in these multiple offices. And I think that's a hard part for a lot of people to really think about, because all these people are working together to teach the congregation how to function, how to be, and how to do the work of the kingdom. So, you know, as we're looking at the recalibration of the church, as things are, like, I've been praying that God sends us people to fill these roles. Like, I'm like, God, send us new folks. Send us people that are willing to go, who are walking in these offices, but may not have had the opportunity to fully do it. Or who are willing to come and build. Because these roles are vital to the life of a church. Regardless if you jump up and down, shout, speak in tongues, what have you, these roles are vital to the life of a church. So, fivefold ministry. So we just talked about fivefold ministry. Now, I want to transition our conversation a little bit. If I can find my mouse. There we go. To the bishopric and the deacons. All right. So, this can be found in 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to go chunk by chunk with this. All right. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer, some translations call a bishop, it's the same thing, he desires a noble work. An overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not an excessive drinker, not a bully, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not greedy. He must manage his own household competently and have his children under control with all dignity. If anyone does not know how to manage his household, how will he take care of God's church? He must not be a new convert, or he might become conceited and incur the same condemnation as the devil. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation amongst outsiders so that he does not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. So this is the role of a bishop. So pretty much, first of all, the bishopric kind of functions outside of the fivefold ministry. A bishop is designed to oversee multiple churches. And the work of a bishop is not something just more like, hey, guess what, you a bishop. The person has to desire to do the work. Okay, so Cass, why are you a bishop? Over the past years, like even before I was pastoring, God has always had me as someone to serve as an advisor to other people in ministry. When I was just leading praise and worship, I was teaching and mentoring other worship leaders. In fact, I still do it. Like, literally, most of the calls I get are like me mentoring and helping people. Like, I'm still working with worship leaders. So having that practice and training with working with other worship leaders, going into other churches, doing workshops, helping other people who are in ministry. So when I became a pastor, it was no shock to me when other pastors began to reach out to me. Our international brothers and sisters are reaching out to me as well. Again, if those of you who might not know, True Vision has 300 churches in India under us. What does it mean under? That they are a part of the greater congregation of True Vision. So in my role as a bishop, I give advice, I give support, I give prayer support to those churches and also other churches that come my way. There are several other pastors across the country that I'm in conversation with. And, you know, it's not just this, I'm going to tell you what to do. It's a mutual relationship. If I have questions, I'm going to them. I even have pastors who, you know, they've been around longer than me. And I go, I'm like, hey, I know I'm not supposed to have all the answers, so I'm going to need you to help. Can you help me? Please, Ayudame, help me. But that's what a bishop does. But again, it's not somebody goes, you are a bishop. The person has to be like, okay, yes, I want to do this. So in the process of becoming a bishop, it's really, okay, yes, I want to do this. Because it's not just, oh, just a new thing. This is what's already been done. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And even in Catartismos Collective, I'm the vice presider. So that means I assist in the oversight of the organization alongside my father, our presiding bishop, Bishop Robert Green. So doing all this stuff together, so working together to oversee is vital to the life of the church. And, you know, there's also a greater responsibility in terms of the advising thing, because since November, it's kind of ramped up. It's ramped up at work. It's ramped up with my classes. It's ramped up within the community. So it's showing the wisdom that I've learned, and also a deeper responsibility of having good character. So that is why, people, bishops are a biblical office. It is in the word. We just read it. It is an extension of the apostolic office. So bishops and apostles, which I need to get to that, bishops and apostles are able, people can make it interchangeable depending upon the organization, but in essence, they do the same work. A bishop focuses more on oversight. An apostle establishes and oversees. But either way, it works. Now, you've also heard about deacons, the deacon of the church. So let's keep reading. I'm at verse 8 now. Deacons likewise should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drink a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They also must be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. Wives, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not slanderous, self-controlled, faithful in everything. Deacons are to be husbands of one wife, managing their children and their own households competently. For those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so if a bishop serves in a larger context, the deacon serves as in a smaller context. Deacons serve more so in the local body. So they go out into the community. They're the ones who go do the sick and shut-in calls. They're the ones who do the serving. They're an extension of the pastor's arms. So remember, pastors are in charge of the care, of the overall care of the congregation. One person can't do everything. So they have to be of high character, just as a pastor or a bishop or an elder is. And they might not have to preach per se, but they're going out and making sure that people are cared for. That is the role of a deacon. So you hear all these titles in all these churches. I know our group of Black church, I've heard everything under the sun. So, okay, ministers, evangelists, revivalists. So let's go back to that. Let's go back to that fivefold ministry aspect of things. So, you know what an evangelist is, right? They go out into the highways and the byways and preach the word. They also come into the house of God, and God will ask the people to do the same, all right? So what does a minister do? A minister correlates with the teaching office. Ministers, I tell people that ministers are kind of like the in-house people who assist in the teaching of the people. They might travel, they might bounce around, but it's their job to assist in the teaching of the people. I've heard this a lot since I've lived in Lancaster, revivalist. What does a revivalist do? A revivalist is an evangelist. That's all they are. A revivalist is synonymous with evangelist. Why? Because a revivalist is the role of someone is a revivalist, it is inferred that it is their job to go into churches and galvanize people to do what? The gospel mission. Because revival is an internal process, is an internal practice within the church. Is people are like, oh, we're gonna have a revival, get all these people saved. Nope, the job of a revival is to build the people up, galvanize the people to go out and do the work of the kingdom. So that is an extension of the evangelist. Okay, all right. Prophets, we know what prophets do, okay? But here's the thing about prophets. Here's something I'm going to help you with. A prophet has to be tested. Say it again for the people in the back, Bishop. A prophet has to be tested. There has to be a track record of some of them prophesying something accurately. I thank God for grace and mercy. I thank God for grace and mercy. Because in the Old Testament, if you got it wrong, you died. So I thank God for grace and mercy. So a one and done doesn't make somebody a prophet. That's to be a consistent track record of someone functioning in the prophetic office accurately and responsibly. All right, what else? What else? What other things you need to cover? Missionaries, extension of the, a missionary is an extension of the deaconate. Because some churches really give somebody a title, especially women, you're a missionary. A missionary, depending on the denomination, is an extension of being a deacon or being an evangelist, particularly for women. Some denominations, like, you're a missionary, but you can go out and preach. You're doing the work of an evangelist. Depending on how the church frames it, determines which one it falls under. Okay? Elders. Elders are an extension of the pastorate because they assist in the oversight of the church. An elder functions as, so if you look at sheep, look at a pastor sheep, you have the main shepherd, then you have under shepherds. Elders, assistant pastors, those type of positions, or staff pastors, function as under shepherds for a specific area of the church to assist the pastor in the care of the church. So they're like, oh man, Cash, you're breaking this down. Like, you like, because this is something that people need to know, especially with us going into convocation, going to hear titles left and right, blah, 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 blah. But ultimately, and for this is specifically for people who are really truly seeking into being in the ministry. Ministry is developed. We talk about how people, like, you know, people, we're on social media. So somebody gets saved and all of a sudden they have this audience of millions of people they can preach to. But this is something that is crucial that I really need you to understand. Ministry is developed. Gifts, office are, and offices are developed. It is wise to have those dark room seasons where you're allowing God to develop you, develop your character, develop your reading and study of the Word of God, so that way you're able to effectively convey the gospel message. You're effectively able to minister. You're not just going out there and going, oh my gosh, I got it. Nope, you're gonna learn. It's like owning a gun. You have to know how to use it responsibly. You have to know how to do this responsibly. How you do that is through teaching, through discipleship. That means you're allowing someone to pour into your life and pour into your giftings, both positively and correctively, meaning they get to bonk you on your head if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And, you know, people, you know, we're called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And people, everybody want to be everybody's mama and daddy. I actually saw somebody said this on Instagram. I said, ain't that the truth? Everybody want to be somebody's mama and daddy, but they don't want to be a brother and sister. And sometimes being a brother and sister is like watching Theo and Hattie. Hattie does something, Theo be like, hey, don't do that. And like, we'll explain why. It's not him trying to be me. It's him being a good big brother, making sure that his sister doesn't get hurt. So we have to begin to think about these things in these contexts. You have to be willing to be developed. First, for those of us who are in ministry, we are not meant to be everybody's spiritual parents. Sometimes you're going to be okay with being a brother and sister. Actually, you get more inroads that way than trying to be the parent. All right. You allow yourself the opportunity to be developed in the gospel. People jump, I want to be a bishop. The scripture says it must not be a new convert. If you're new to this, work the process. Well, Cash, you only 35 years old. There is a proven track record of darkroom moments, of the willingness to learn and to be corrected, of impactful ministry. But I also know that I am, in terms of my age range, I'm the exception. So I encourage you, before, do not chase after an office. You don't chase after it. My grandfather and our apostolic overseer, Pastor Joel Rice, said something to me that sticks with me to this day. A title is not just given to you out of potential. It's an affirmation of what you're already doing. Just do the work. Just do the work. But also be willing to be teachable. So, oh man, I like this. It's like just being able to, it's nice just to be able to just talk to y'all and have a conversation. It is raining cats and dogs outside, and it is beautiful. It is so beautiful. So, in closing, I just want this as this popped in my head, this is what you need to talk about in case nothing happens. I want you to be able to really realize and really think about, okay, what is God calling me to? How is God calling me to serve the body? Everybody wants to do the fivefold ministry stuff, but there are other spiritual gifts. We will talk about them at another time. But there's other things that the church needs. How can you fulfill that? How can you support the overall vision of your local church? Now, I'm not just talking about True Vision, but all y'all who are watching, everybody who's listening from different churches, what is your role? Your role might not be this, not everybody's like, you're gonna be a pastor, your role is to be, if you're supposed to be usher, you better go usher for your life. Be the best usher you could ever be. Because I also tell people this, the higher the platform, the harder the fall. So you have to make sure that you're not going farther than your character can take you. Carlin's is a perfect example. You can be gifted, anointed, and talented as much as you want to, but your character is what will keep you in the room. So just make sure that you are working to where your character can take you. All right. So I said, well, I had one more announcement. And I'm gonna give it to you one more. We got one more announcement. Y'all, guess what? We are going back on the radio. I'll be giving more details, but y'all bet, but I'm gonna need y'all to shout for the fact that we are going back on the radio. I'm trying to hear the radio. But we are going back on the radio and we're hoping to go back in July. But listen, we need you. We need everybody right now who's listening, everybody who's watching this later. We need you. If you would like to assist us and sow into us, we have our giving methodologies. Put on the Menmo Media Ministry if you want to support us. We just gonna sow in, just sow in. Because we have been given opportunities to go international on internet radio. There's a company that's graciously given us a free spot. But we also want to make sure that our local family is ministered to as well. So we are planning to return to 88.9 WLRY in the coming weeks. So that way we are able to make sure that our local people, because people come in, when y'all coming back on the radio, what's going on? We want to make sure that we are able to reach our local body as well. We've been offered opportunities as well across the country, man. It's been crazy. I'm like, Lord, they want to hear little us. But we're a church without walls. So if it's on your heart to support us one time or recurring, you can do so. I'll make it real simple for you. TrueVisionLancaster.org/giving. TrueVisionLancaster.org/giving. All right. Lastly, remember, if you have questions for us, you can email them to admin@truevisionlancaster.org. Put in the subject, ask Bishop Cass. If you're on Spotify, we're going to hook y'all up with an opportunity to be able to communicate with us directly on this particular episode, so that way we can gather up questions. So this was the live one. This was the one I did live. So we're going to go through our questions and then join us on July 10th and August 13th. But August 13th is also my birthday. So send your birthday shout outs. So July 10th and August 13th, we will be pre-recording these. So get your questions in. I'm excited to see what comes. So everybody, I love you so much. Thank you so much for joining me on this beautiful yet rainy. It is getting out there. This beautiful yet rainy Sunday afternoon. I love you all so much. On behalf of my wife, Pastor Rachel, and the rest of our congregation, God bless you. God keep you. Go in peace, knowing that you're loved.